Our guest today is Al Benson, and this is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. And we will take calls after the next break at 800-313-9443. As I said, our guest is Al Benson. He is the co-author with Walter Kennedy of Red Republicans and Lincoln's Marxist, Marxism in the Civil War, and his latest book, also co-authored with Mr. Kennedy, is Lincoln's Marxist, and it came out last year. Al's website is revisedhistory.wordpress.com. And you were talking about the blacks who actually, you mentioned that they used them for cannon fodder. And initially, the Union did not want to use any blacks in the Army, but when they did assent to doing that, they gave them defective equipment. And when the Union Army went down into the South, they actually conscripted the blacks, also gave them, if they gave them any equipment at all, it was not good, up to standard, and they put them in the front and didn't care anything about them. And some of the blacks that had left the plantations thinking that they were going to get a better deal with the Army, a lot of them ended up dying, and a lot of them ended up leaving and going back to the plantation.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the blacks in the Union Army got paid less than the whites. In the Confederate Army, and you had blacks in the Confederate Army, I don't know, some people say there were thousands and thousands. I don't know if there were, but there were a fair number. And they went, and when they fought side by side with the white fellas. There was no segregation. And they were segregated in the Union Army. They had all white officers. And so, I mean, there was a difference. Interestingly enough, you talk about segregated churches too. You had separate churches in the North up until the war. In the South, they weren't segregated. But a lot of churches had an area in their church reserved for the slave population who wanted to come and worship. But it was in the same church building that the white folks went to.
Mm-hmm. And you know, after the Civil War, there were many people who still maintained social contact with their former slaves. They were very close. The slaves often were the nannies, in every sense of the word. And
you're right. There was I don't know how you want to word it. They were close. I mean,
well,
they,
yes.
They
well,
lived
they were
together.
Wet nurses. They were everything. I mean, it was.
I remember reading a thing once, or I guess I heard it in the speech, where there were a white family that had a black family with them. They were on a train going somewhere, and they had a bowl of candy, and both the whites and the blacks were dipping their hands in and eating out of the same bowl, the candy, and there was a white person from the North on the train, and they were shocked that, you know, well, these people are eating out of the same bowl, you know. They wouldn't do that in the North.
Right.
You know,
they had a
down here
mentality.
It was a common thing. It was no problem.
All righty. Let's talk about the Reconstruction Acts. Well, first let's talk about, okay, they did replace the value system, the Southern value system, with the Northern liberal value system. And this was, of course, enforced by the national government. All righty, we do have to take a break, and then when we come back, let's talk about the Reconstruction Acts. Be right back.
Answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water-level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
We do have some callers lining up, but I do want to talk about the Reconstruction Acts. But why don't we take a caller? Let's take Arthur in Georgia. Arthur, welcome to the program.
Rodden, and to you too, sir. Interesting conversation. I'd like to go back to the issue of education that you mentioned earlier. And one of the things that I've tried to explain to people was, like you said, sir, the people of the town used to hire teachers. They actually could control what was being taught to their children. I've tried to get people to understand this concept of we don't need government education program because we're capable of doing that. Oh, it's not too hard if you do some looking around to find some old, very old school books.
Arthur, you seem to be cutting out. Arthur, are you there? You're cutting out, Arthur. Is Arthur still there? Okay, we've got some connection problems with Arthur, and we do have a little bit of crackling, but I think that we think that's coming from Al's phone line. So
that could be. This is not the greatest phone in the world. So
yeah, that's okay. We'll just suffer through. So if Arthur is listening, maybe he can call back. But meanwhile, let's go ahead and talk about the Reconstruction Acts, and what those did. And of course, we know that a lot of things happened after the Civil War. Federally, I mean, you had the 14th Amendment, but go ahead and tell us about the Reconstruction Acts and what those led to.
He mentioned one thing I did catch from his call. He mentioned about looking for old school books.
Right, that's the last thing I heard him say.
I guess to teach the youngsters. And a lot of people think that if you get a book before 1900, it's okay. And that's not necessarily so. I've read some history books that, you know, came out of the 1870s and 1880s, and already they were having problems with the history, and they weren't getting it right. So if you want something that's, you've almost got to go back to 1830 or 40 if you can find something that old even.
Right.
Or something that may have been reprinted.
I know that the old McGuffey readers, I've heard some good things about
those. Well, the McGuffey readers are probably okay. Although I think there's been a couple different editions of those, and I've been told that the later editions weren't as good as the earlier editions.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, when you have things, for instance, the Rothschilds bought Britannica Encyclopedia in 1900, and when you realize that a lot of the publishing has been taken over by the so-called elite, then, you know, I mean, it stands to reason that they are going to rewrite history and conceal a lot of things, no matter where you look. And to try and find an independent publisher, which, of course, you have done, Pelican does a very good job, I think. But, you know, there's a lot of other publishers. Well, the majority of the other publishers won't touch the kind of stuff that you've written about.
I listed in the latest article on the Blogspot places people could get history for their kids.
Oh, yes, you know? I saw that.
And, I mean, there's, I think, four different things I listed there. And, like I say, there's more out now than there was. The first book on the list is a history book written from a Southern perspective for 8 to 12-year-olds. And they asked me to write the foreword for it, and they sent me a copy of the book, so...
Great.
You know, when I was teaching my kids, I would have loved to have had something like that.
Sure.
But it wasn't available. Now it is.
All righty. Arthur is back, so let's pick Arthur up from where he left off. Arthur, welcome back.
Let's try this again. There's a lot. I think the internet gremlins are working overtime this morning because they probably don't like what you're talking about.
Probably.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, they do it a lot with RBN. But I have a copy of McGuffey's First Eclectic Reader dating back to 1879, and it's actually a pretty decent piece. But what I was saying was I try to get people to understand that it will take some work, but you can find some of these old school books dating back to the early and mid-1800s. You just have to do a lot of looking around. And, you know, the one problem that I find with most people when I discuss this issue of taking back the education system and just teaching your own children is the one thing that scares the bejeebies out of people is that means they, the parents and the teachers, have to go back to school. And they don't want to go back to school and relearn. You know, rewrite the hard drive called the brain to erase.
That's basically what my wife and I had to do when we started homeschooling. We had to go back and learn. I came across a history book, a series actually by Clarence Carson. It's 5 books in the series. And it's not bad stuff for what you have nowadays. It's pretty good. And when I started teaching my son, you know, out of the history, I realized that, you know, all of a sudden, I've got to go back and read, and I've got to get all this down pat again. I've got to stay one chapter ahead of my son all year.
Yeah.
so that I know, you know, what I'm dealing with him and what I'm trying to get across to him. I've got to be familiar with it. Yeah, so, yeah, you do have to go back and relearn. But people can do this. I mean, sure, it's work, but it's worth it for your kids.
Yeah, and this is what I try to get people to understand because, like you said, I mean, my children were homeschooled, and I had to spend a lot of time reading. And one thing I cannot stand, I hate to read. I really do. I can't stand it. But to educate my child, to me, that was more important than anything else, and that was to teach him the truth. And parents are not going to be able to educate their children and truly be responsible for their children unless they can teach their children the truth, and they're not going to be able to teach their children the truth if they don't know the truth. And that's why the only way, and this is my contention, only way that we are going to ever be successful in taking back control of our country, our government, and restore our republic is if we as adults first become educated. Hey, thanks, guys. I'm enjoying the conversation, and I'm sure you got other callers, so I'm out of here.
Well, thank you, Arthur. Appreciate your call, as always.
Yeah, I agree with him.
Definitely.
I mean, he sees the problem, and in order for us, to educate our kids, we have to learn. It's important that we learn enough so that we can teach our kids to teach their kids.
Sure.
I mean, this is an ongoing thing. We've got to teach, you know, I mean, my 6 grandchildren are being homeschooled at this point, and I hope that my daughter has learned enough that she can pass this along to them, and they're going to have to pass it along to their kids.
Sure. But, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, are in homes where the mother also has to work because, you know, of the taxes that that are extracted from each and every household. And so, you know, people say, well, I can't. I don't have the time. But you have to make your children number one priority.
Well, my wife and I both worked full time. Her hours were a little different than mine, so which was a blessing. And she did was she worked with the kids in the morning before she went to work. She gave them a certain amount of work to be done while I wasn't there. And when I got home, then I worked with them after I got home.
Okay,
and we did
so
it that way. That's what we had to do.
Sure. Well, I think if people really want to do this, that they'll figure out a way to do it because it is the future of their children. And you don't want to indoctrinate your children. You want them to really learn accurate stuff so that they can, you know, face the trials and tribulations that are certainly in their path. And I just think it's important to do that.
I mean, if you want your kids to be intellectual zombies, yeah, go ahead and send them to public school, and they'll make sure that's what you get back. You know,
they might have to, you know, nowadays with the medical industry, the pharmaceutical companies, they want all the youth to be on medication. You know, if a boy, particularly boys, are a little bit rambunctious, they automatically say, oh, well, this kid's got, you know, ADHD or ADA. He's going to have to go on medication. And so that's a terrible thing. And you subject your children to so many influences when you send them to the public school. It isn't just what they're being taught. It's the influences that they are under. And heaven forbid, some of the things that they learn at school that has nothing to do with education at all. It's you know, cultural things. So
they use the schools to change the culture.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about. Education, there might be some. I mean, this public school taught me to read and write, you know, but beyond that, it's a cultural thing. And you shape the culture by the education. And that's where they've been doing this for 150 years. They're still doing it.
Sure. Al, we do have to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back and we'll take some more of your calls at 800-313-9443. Be right back.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Today is Al Benson, and his latest book is Lincoln's Marxist. His website is revisedhistory.wordpress.com. Okay, let's talk about the Reconstruction Acts and how it changed our culture forever and the structure of our government.
Well, basically, it in the South, it gave you military governments. It's interesting, you know, the southern states at the end of the war, President Johnson had a Reconstruction plan that had kind of carried on with what Lincoln was going to do, where the southern states, you know, repudiated their secession, which I have a problem with that. But
right,
and then, you know, once they did that, repudiated their debt, elected representatives, they could join the Union, and their representatives would be seated in Washington.
Right. Well, and they used the 10% plan. If 10% of the citizens who had voted in the previous election or whatever, if 10% accepted the Union, accepted the federal government, then that, you know, they took the whole state. They allowed the whole state to come back, correct?
I didn't catch what you said.
Oh, I'm sorry. The federal government indicated that if 10% of the population of any given state would accept the federal government as the central government, then they would allow the state to come into the Union.
Yeah, yeah. And when they did this, and their representatives they elected went to Washington, Congress refused to seat them.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the first representatives they sent, Congress refused to seat them. And Congress came back, of course, here again you got Thaddeus Stevens, Charles Sumner, and these are really radical left-wing people in the Congress. And they directed the direction that it went in. And they said, we can't seat you people. And then not only that, they put the states back out of the union. They said, you can't really get into the union until you ratify the 14th Amendment. They'd already ratified the 13th, which did away with slavery.
And that was the second version of the 13th Amendment.
So they've got this now, and it's really a weird situation. It never really got resolved. They put these states out of the union and told them, you can't get back in until you ratify the 14th Amendment. Well, how are you going to ratify an amendment if you're out of the union?
Correct.
You know, I mean, you have no legitimate authority to try and ratify anything until you're in the union.
Right. And the 14th Amendment basically created a corporation.
Yeah. The 14th Amendment turned your citizenship upside down. In other words, up until the 14th Amendment, you had been a citizen of the United States by virtue of being a citizen of Texas, Louisiana, New Jersey, wherever. That's what gave you your U.S. citizenship. Your state citizenship gave you that. You know, after the 14th Amendment, the state citizenship basically was meaningless. I mean, you became a U.S. citizen, period. It didn't make any difference where you lived. You know, even if you were born in Kenya,
right?
You know, I guess you could be a U.S. citizen if they said you could. You know.
Sure, and they actually it made everybody a citizen of a corporation, and gave corporate personhood to each corporation. Or, you know, I mean, it's kind of hard to explain, but basically it made it okay for a corporation to get all of the benefits of the law as a corporation, which is unbelievable.
Yeah,
how they have exploited that.
There's a difference between privileges and immunities and liberties. I mean, you know, the liberties are something that God gave us. The government does not have a right to take them away, even though they routinely try to do it. When you've got just privileges and immunities, rights granted by the government, what the government giveth, the government can take away.
Sure.
And that's
absolutely
where we're at today. If they grant you something and you get on their wrong side, they'll just revoke it.
Sure.
You know? And so, you know, it gives, basically what you're doing nowadays is you're negotiating with the federal government for house privileges.
Yes.
That's what it amounts to.
Sure. Why don't we take another call? Let's take Anna in Michigan. And Anna, we're about to go to the break, so we'll hold you over the break. So, but come on and ask your question. Anna?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Welcome.
Oh, am I on the line?
Uh-huh, you sure are. We're about a minute or a little less than a minute from the break, so we'll hold you over if you're not done, which I'm sure
you won't be. Oh, okay. Well, I want to say a few things as well as ask a question, but
sure,
a history professor told me once that the Puritan descendants in New England grabbed hold of the history writing in this country, and they got to write their version of history and not the South version. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. And also, you know, the Southern Cross, that's St. Andrew's Cross. And I've always held that in high regard. And my son has put it all around, too. And then
Anna, hold your other thoughts and questions until after the break. We'll be right back with our guest today, Al Benson. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Our guest today is Al Benson. His website is revisedhistory.wordpress.com. And we were talking with Anna. So, Anna, please continue.
Oh, yes. I wanted to say that the southern flag that is the stars and bars, and that's the cross of St. Andrew, and that's where it comes from, the Scottish tradition. But up here in Michigan, if you, I'm sure, I know you'd get criticized terribly, and maybe your car vandalized if you put it on your car. The political correctness is so strong here in this state. But another thing, I bought an set of encyclopedias years ago by Edward Ellis. Does your guest know who he is?
Well, Edward. Okay.
He wrote about the Civil War, and I'm surprised that he put in there the Pea Ridge Massacre and desecration of both Southern and Northern soldiers, and under the command of Albert Pike, whom we know who he is.
Right.
And, well, I guess your guest knows a lot more than I do. And anyways, what I wanted to ask him about was the commander of Andersonville. He was, I read, the only one who was punished for, and hanged for his part in this civil southern, the Confederates. And he was a doctor, and he was from Switzerland.
Right.
A Catholic gentleman. And from what I can read about him, he was treated very unfairly.
Oh, exactly. I mean, Andersonville, it was a terrible situation there, but we have to understand that the North embargoed the South and would not let any food and necessary items in. I mean, if you look at what the U.S. government has done in Iraq during that 12-year embargo that they did, you know, when 500,000 children died. Well, of course, if you have camps such as Andersonville, if you have those camps, they're not going to get any more food than the general population is. And yet we never hear anything about the camps up north. And the camps up north were absolutely horrific. And yet we never hear about them.
I did hear, my son is very up on history, and he told me, he sent me some articles about the ones up north. Because I visited Andersonville 2 years ago, and I sent him information. The commander, why was he treated so shabbily?
Well, that's what they do. They just put, you know, that's how they treated what they referred to as a war criminal, and you just get rid of them. That's standard procedure. You get rid of
people. You had a situation where the South couldn't do anything other than what they did. They didn't have the resources. You know, if you look at the guards and everything in Andersonville, they ate the same way the prisoners did.
Yeah.
And there was no deliberate policy of starving prisoners. In the North, there was. You read about some of the camps there, Elmira, Camp Douglas in Chicago, and several of them where they had deliberate policies of, you know, cutting the rations. In the North had the resources to take care of these prisoners in an adequate fashion. And they didn't bother.
They were inhumane. I did read that the Southerners were a much more genteel people, and the North didn't like them.
Actually, the commandant at Andersonville, when he was able to, he went and bought out of his own pocket fresh produce to feed the prisoners.
And he also helped everybody, too, I read, North and South.
The people that, interestingly enough, I'm trying to think of the camp, it was Camp Delaware, or Fort Delaware, was a Union prison camp. And the man that was the warden there was one of the Socialist 48ers.
Oh, my goodness.
And Fort Delaware had a horrible record of, you know, torture. And I did an article years ago for a website, California, SCV website in California. I don't know if he still got it up or not, on Fort Delaware. And so, you know, there's a big difference. One thing the lady mentioned at the beginning, the descendants of the Puritans wrote the history books for the North.
Uh-huh.
And the descendants of the Puritans were the Unitarians.
And they're Masons. I mean,
They apostatized from their parents' faith, and they ended up Unitarians. And she's right. These are the people that wrote the history books.
Yeah. Good. That's good. And I wanted to say also this, Edward Ellis, I found out years later he was a Mason. So why would he write anything that would be good for the United States and that would be true? Because they can write truth and error in the same book.
Exactly, yes. And, you know, we do also need to remember that most of the war was fought in the South. There were only two battles that were fought in the North. And the other thing, you know, that has always kind of irritated me is, you know, look what they call the South, the rebels. You know, I mean, that automatically vilifies them right off the bat.
Yeah, like even Shirley Temple, the littlest rebel.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that was terrible. Well, they use language a lot to shape our opinions.
Yes.
And as far as public schools go, I was a teacher, so I know what you're talking about. You get the orders to teach this, and you get the books, and you get the programs, and it's very difficult to stand up to anybody, even parents. You don't know if the parents are going to come after you, or the other teachers, or the union, or the principal. So.
Wow.
It's not easy to be a teacher.
Well, thank you so much.
Their real problem with the St. Andrew's Cross is?
What?
It's a Christian symbol.
Oh, yes, yes.
And that's what they hate.
Yes.
That's why they try to get rid of it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and I've got some Scottish Highland ancestors, so I have no problem with this. I have not, I've never, even when we lived up north, I never had a problem with a Confederate flag. I had one hanging in my office. Still
yeah.
have it here.
People down the road, they flew one for 2 years, and now I notice it's gone, and I'm going to stop here and see what happened to it. I wondered if it wore out, I'd get him another one.
I mean, people misunderstand. They say, oh, well, that's the flag of slavery. And then that, there again, more hogwash.
Well,
and
they got brainwashed, too, just like a lot of other people, too. You know, they can't stand to have it anywhere at all. So,
I've known people that way. They, oh, I hate that flag. Well, why do you hate it? You know, well, they can't
they
tell
know.
You, oh, it's racist or, it, you know, whatever. But
yeah, that's true.
It was a soldier's flag.
Right.
They flew it on, you know, during the battles so they could differentiate between their flag and the Yankee flag. That's
yes.
why it came into, you know, use in the first place.
Sure.
So the first few battles, you couldn't tell the first National Confederate flag from the Northern flag if there was no wind and they were both hanging limp. You couldn't tell the difference. And a lot of times the soldiers would attack somebody and it would turn out to be one of their own camps. And so they realized they needed something different for the soldiers to identify. And so that's why they came up with this. And they happened to choose the St. Andrew's Cross, because, you know, you got a lot of Scots-Irish people in the South.
Yes, we're.
I mean, they're familiar with it.
Yeah. And just one more thing in aside. I never really knew who Carl Schurz was till you pointed out he was a revolutionary. And my granduncle, my grandmother's brother, served under him and was admired him so much he named his son Carl. So,
oh dear!
I know who Carl Schurz is, but I didn't know he was a radical. I don't know if he was a Marxist, but he was a revolutionary.
Yeah, he really was. He knew Marx, and he was in jail in in Europe, and he was one of the worst.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I'm sure there are a lot of good people named Carl.
If you go back and look in the book, you'll see that Carl Schurz's wife started the first kindergarten in this country.
Yes, she did.
Well, I didn't really know a lot about history until maybe the past 5 years. I've been reading a lot more than I did because I just was an elementary teacher. You don't have to know that much for that. But anyway, your program is very interesting, and I want to thank you for it, and thank you for coming on, Mr. Benson.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you, Anna.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we have the 14th Amendment, and what were some of the other things that that they did? I mean, we have a lot of things, in as much as Anna brought up Carl Schurz. I mean, that was where he kind of implemented the Homestead Act, I believe, and, you know, giving a lot of benefits, socialist-type benefits to citizens, many of whom had their hand out. And that was Carl Schurz. I mean, he was the Secretary of the Interior, which was a very influential position to be in.
I mean, it's interesting. You know, people, I always say to people, well, socialism pays in this country. You know, Carl Schurz is a prime example.
Yeah.
I mean, he came over here penniless in 1849 or 50, and, you know, he ends up, as a socialist, he ends up being the Secretary of the Interior.
And you know, the most interesting thing about it is that when he came over here, he immediately became a Freemason, and then he met, who did he meet? Who was president then? He met with the president, and I'm thinking, okay, so what kind of guy comes over here, a radical, a 48er, comes over here, and he immediately gets an audience with the president of the United States? How does that happen?
Well, probably a lot more than we realize, and even then, of course, Matures was in Wisconsin, and he was very influential with the German community.
Oh, right. So in fact, that's where they sent him. That's where the Freemasons sent him. And
Lincoln kind of courted him and a whole bunch of the other Germans because he realized that, you know, that's where the votes were.
Sure. Yeah, he did more to bring a lot of Germans into the Republican Party, and it was due to his efforts. I think he traveled something like 20,000 miles or something around the country, getting the vote for Lincoln.
Yeah, he did. He traveled. A lot of them did, but he probably did more than most. But, I mean, this is, you know, he recognized, like we said, in Lincoln, somebody who would fulfill the agenda that he and his friends had in Europe, and so they were going to get on the bandwagon and support this. Because if we couldn't do it in Europe, we're going to do it here, you know. And they've done it here. Unfortunately, most people don't realize it.
I know. It's because of the history. The history has been changed to suit the socialistic purposes. So anyway, yeah, Carl Schurz, as you said, he helped to write the platform. It was called, the Deutschplank? Isn't that what they called it?
The what?
The Deutschplank. It was the Dutch, Deutsch.
Oh, the Dutchplank, yeah.
Yeah, the Deutschplank.
Yeah, he was the one that wrote that.
Yeah.
And, as part of the Republican platform. And basically it was to, you know, make sure that, you know, the Germans got to, you know.
Right. Now he was the son of a Jewish schoolmaster, and he had studied in Cologne and then entered the University of Bonn, and he basically founded with a professor, Gottfried Kinkel, a newspaper over there, the Bonner Zeitung, which was devoted to revolutionary activities. And he was part of the Franconia fraternity. And, I mean, he was a real Marxist. He was very, very strong Marxist. So, and here he ends up as the Secretary of the Interior.
You know, it was interesting. If you look at some of these radicals, they come from nobility. Anybody in Germany that's got a von in his name, V-O-N, it's some kind of nobility.
Possibly.
And a lot of these 48ers had that, you know. Schurz didn't, but I mean, August von Willeck, he's one. And there were several of them that were, you know, from noble families, and you wonder why they.
Well,
supposedly repudiate that and go way over to the radical left, and but here again, right. I think it's all about power.
Sure.
You know, you've got the same thing in this country today with the tax-free foundations. I mean, how many people are involved with those Rockefellers, Carnegies, and what's their agenda?
Exactly. Yes. Now, the president that he met with was Franklin Pierce, and Franklin Pierce was also a Freemason. And so when the Schurz came here, it was in, they were in London, and they left London in August 1852, and his wife, as you said, started the first kindergarten, and she had some financial assets, and Carl and she got married, and they came over here. Her father was Heinrich Meyer. He was a prosperous Jewish merchant. They remained in Philadelphia long enough for Schurz to learn English and join the Freemasons. Then within 2 years of his arrival in the U.S., he visited with several senators and President Franklin Pierce, who was also a fellow Freemason, and they advised him about the political opportunities in the Midwest. So Schurz and his wife moved to Watertown, Wisconsin in 1854. And then before you know it, then a lot of other relatives arrived in Watertown, including Schurz's parents and his two sisters. And so they organized the the Republican Party up there and kind of took over the Midwest.
Yeah, and here again, we commented on the book on the fact that his wife started the first kindergarten in this country, and they had an agenda, you know, and they'll pursue the agenda politically, educationally, culturally, whatever way, in any way that they could, and.
Right, and she had been trained. We'll have to cover that on the other side of the break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. I'm sorry, we do have some more callers. I didn't scroll down. Let's take Roger in Kansas. Roger, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I may have an important reference for Mr. Benson and you. I don't know. It's from a book that was published in 1876, and it talks about the Union Army being fleshed out, but with what's called Red Republicans in the book. It's also, they're also expressly called communists. Okay, and the name of the book is A Review of Political Conflict in America by Alexander Harris. And it has a rather lengthy subtitle, For the Commencement of the Anti-Slavery, or From the Commencement of the Anti-Slavery Agitation to the Close of Southern Reconstruction, comprising also a resume of the career of Thaddeus Stevens, being a survey of the struggle of parties which destroyed the Republic and virtually monarchized its government.
Interesting, Roger. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it was reprinted by Negro University Press in Westport, Connecticut, 1970. And I got this thing off of Amazon. A little bit expensive, but it's rather amazing because it's so close to the events, and they are specifically calling the Union Army being fleshed out with men from Europe and
right.
called communists.
So, all righty. Thanks, Roger. I'm sorry we do have to cut you off. We have some more callers. But thank you so much. I appreciate your call. All right, let's take Tom real quick in Florida.
Hello. I just called in again about a couple of references I had to the CSA, the Confederate States of America, being a Rothschild operation. And one of them is online. It's called 100 Historical Mysteries Explained. If you go there and you go to that book and read the last chapter, it's about I think the researcher was assassinated after his book came out. He got it. He said the material from the Tsar's archives before the Tsar was murdered in 1913. And I guess that's about all I had.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. The Rothschilds did have a lot of agents in the South, and they sent them in there quite early in order to set people up. They actually were in the various colleges in order to teach some people how to rebel and to teach secession and all that stuff. But anyway, all right, we were going to talk about the college. Carl Schurr's wife. And she was taught by a student of Pestalozzi, and which is an interesting history. But guess what? We've run out of time. We just never have sufficient time. Al, thank you so very much for being on the program today.
Well, I thank you for having me on. I hope I was able to contribute something.
Oh, absolutely. You were fabulous. Thank you so much. And thank you for your work. It's just marvelous. Very scholarly, and I hope that our listeners will purchase your books. Thank you so much, Al. Okay, bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.